And we're holding on Zion Omid Bey's second line from the bottom. We were talking about the case where two people are holding on to a shtar, and we discussed where they're holding the teufis or todef, according to Rabbi Elazar. That factors into the consideration of how we divide the choiv, and according to Rabbi Yochanan, it doesn't. They just split it 50-50. So now the Gemara says, when we're talking about dividing the shtar, the dummy, we mean as far as the value in the shtar. So we don't not only we don't so so not only we don't physically divide the shtar. Tosfos says that there's not so much of a chiddush in that. And besides that, the proof that the Gemara is going to bring from the Talos then is not really such a strong one. Rather, what it means is that actually we even as far as the debt itself, we consider how much is this debt worth to sell to a third party? Conceivably, for example, so here, Reuven borrowed 100. So the shtar says Reuven borrowed $100 from Shimon. The shtar, though, is not necessarily going to be worth $100 to some third party who would want to buy it, because after all, when you buy a shtar, there's always the risk that you're not going to get paid back. So there would be a certain discount in it, perhaps just depending on Shimon's credit rating and so forth. So when we say we divide it, Tosfos says that's what it means. Not that we divide. Not only does it mean we don't divide the actual physical shtar, but it means even as far as the money in the shtar, we're not actually doing the whole thing. We're figuring out how much it would be worth if Reuven, who it says in the shtar had lent the money to Shimon, wants to sell it to a third party, and then Shimon now is paying half of that because they're both holding on to the shtar. And Tosfos says, "De'iloi tema hochi." Now, if you weren't going to say that, if you were going to think that yachloikum means you actually physically divide the object, then let's consider shnayim oichsim b'talis, the case of our Mishnah, where two people are holding on to a talis. Hochi nami de'palgi. Are you going to think that it literally means they cut the talis in two? Ho'aksaduha. Wouldn't they be ruining it by that? Because what are you going to do with a half a talis? So doesn't that demonstrate that whenever we talk about that whenever we talk about dividing in these kinds of cases, we are talking about dividing the value of it. Now Marashah actually says the truth is, since the Gemara pointed out at the beginning of the Masechta that we are talking about Marashah first points out and then in turn the Marashah comments on what he's saying, that at the beginning of the Masechta on Beis on the Beis, we talked about that one of the cases of our Mishnah is also talking about where the two of them are claiming that they bought the thing. Each one says that they bought that they bought the item from the storekeeper, that they gave him money and he agreed to sell it to them. So the Marshal asks the question in that case. So then what's the Gemara's proof over here? When it comes to Mtsia, fine, you can say they're not going to be dividing it in half, but what are they going to do with a half a talus? Because then they're going to ruin it. But on the other hand, if we're talking about buying and selling, the fact is nobody's losing any money because whoever doesn't get the talus is going to get his money back. That's the Marshal's question. And then Marshal says, as a matter of fact, maybe indeed the Gemara's proof is specifically from Mitzia. It's true from Mekach or Memker. Maybe in fact we would say that they physically divide the talus. Look, we can say, look, if you don't want that, if you don't want the talus to be divided, then fine, let the other guy have the talus and you'll get back your money. If both of them are going to insist on having the talus, then in the case of Mekach or Memker, Marsha says we may have no choice but to divide it. But at least as far as Mitzia, we can't say that because obviously there's no money involved, just the talus. So according to him, the Gemara's proof is primarily from when we found the talus. Anyway, so wouldn't that show that, yes, the same way as there, we don't say we physically divide the talus, the same way here, we don't physically divide the shtar. But the Gemara says, holo kasha, no, because that's not such a question. You could say maybe you do physically divide the talus, and a half a talus is good for a child. They can wear it. So maybe in fact there it does mean that you would divide the physical talus. So now in the case of the shtar, obviously we're not going to do that necessarily. But at any rate, the point is that not always does yachloiku necessarily have to mean to divide the money. Sometimes it may mean dividing the actual item. But the Gemara says v'hod omar Rava. Now what about this that we learned yesterday that Rava says in posa talus muzheves, that if it was a gold striped or a talus woven with gold threads or whatever broken, then also they divide it. Then what are you going to say? Hochinami de palgila. Are you going to also say that choken in that case means that you would divide it? Again, ha'af seduha, wouldn't they be ruining it by that? And the answer is, holekashi, even that's not such a question. D'chazil of nei malachim. Even a gold-striped talis might be something that little children, princes, would wear. So again, you could conceivably say over there that yachloiku does mean to actually divide it. And in that case, then fine. It means if it's a talis muzheves, they divide it physically. Each one of them gets half. That, after all, seems to be a little bit implied by yesterday's Gemara, where we said that the cases where the gold stripe is closer to one than to the other. And so one of them is saying we should divide it lengthwise and the other is saying widthwise. So you could conceivably say that it means they physically divide the talus. And then each one is going to take their half that has gold on it and go find a Ben Melech who they can sell it to. No solid proof, in other words, that Yachloiku doesn't at least sometimes mean to actually divide something in two. So maybe by the shtar, fine, you can't really say, because if you rip the shtar in two, you don't really have much of anything. You don't really have something that's worth anything. But it doesn't necessarily show that Yachloiku always means that. However, the Gemara says, V'hoditnan, okay, what about the continuation of our Mishnah? Where we had two people are riding on an animal, or one was riding and one was leading it, which we're going to talk about in more detail on Amud Beis, that we're going to start dealing with details that come out of that part of the Mishnah. Anyway, so, and also the Mishnah said over there that where each one is claiming it's mine, so we also said Yachloku, Hachinami de Pagila. Would you think that there it means they literally divide the animal in two? Haf Seduha, they're definitely ruining it. So Bishlema Tahora, at least if you said that it was a Tahor animal, Chazil Abasser, then you could say, fine, at least they're getting meat out of it. It's not a total loss. They can't use it for a riding animal anymore, but at least they have meat out of it that they can eat. El Tmeya, but if it came to a behemoth Tmeya, there's no question, Ha'af Seduha, they would definitely be ruining it. And in fact, the Ritva says, then there's no question, it would be Koifin al Midas Sedoim. If one of them is going to insist, yes, we have to physically cut this animal in two, then the other one could prevent him and then go to Beis Din and prevent him, because that would be Koifin al Midas Sedoim. What are you gaining from it? Or you're going to have something completely worthless then, or maybe not completely worthless. You can use it for dog food, but whatever. The point is, worth a lot less than the live animal. Ela l'dami, obviously there, therefore, when it comes to a behemoth tmeya, if they're riding on it, or one riding and one leading, l'dami, then it means we divide it, the monetary value. Hachanami, the same thing over here. Yes, with the talus, it does after all mean l'dami, it does mean as far as value. So it means as far as the shtar, and as far as the talus and everything else, there's never any physical division, unless, of course, they both mutually agree to do that. Otherwise, yachloiku means that they divide the value of it. So in the case of the shtar, as we said, you have to, according to Rabbi Lazar, we take the view that the part of the shtar that one of them is holding on to, which contains the date, has a bit more monetary value than the other, because you can use it to collect from nechasim b'shabodim, and the other one, if the shtar, hypothetically, were cut in two, then you wouldn't. So therefore, so he gets a little bit extra as a result of that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and you don't take that into consideration. And again, when we figure how you divide the shtar, the fact that he's only paying half of what it says in the shtar, you don't necessarily consider, as Tosfos had said, the full face value of the shtar, but rather how much it would be worth if you sold it to a third party. Okay. New discussion. Omar Rami Bachoma. Zoisei Meres, this from our Mishnah, and we're going to see later on the Amud what part of the Mishnah Rami Bachoma is learning from exactly. Hamagbia Metzia v'chaveiroi kona chaveiroi. If one person picks up a Metzia on behalf of somebody else, then that somebody else is coin. We're going to talk about that point later on in the Perek, and we're going to talk about that not everybody agrees to that, but the Rami Bachoma is saying somehow from our Mishnah you can deduce this idea. Now we're going to have what it is later on in the parak we're going to talk about like this. Suppose you have Reuven is owed money by Shimon. Now let's say some third party, let's say Levi, were to come and take money away from Shimon and bring it to Reuven in order to collect the debt. Well, that's called Tofus Labal Choy B'Mokim Shachav La'achev. Now you have Shimon also owes money to Yehuda and Yisachar and Zvulun and so forth. But now Levi on his own decides to go and take something from Shimon and bring it to Reuven. Is that valid or not? One problem with it is that the problem with it is, now, if Reuven actually made Levi his shliach and gave him a shtar hashah, gave him a power of attorney, that's one thing. Then he's acting on behalf of Reuven. But otherwise, you have a problem that he's gaining for Reuven. It is true, but on the other hand, he's doing it to the detriment of Yehuda and Yisachar and so forth. And therefore, maybe he doesn't have the right to do that. So now, Rami Bachama is saying that when it comes to a metziah, we don't say that consideration. We don't say that he's by picking up the metziah, he's preventing anybody else from getting it. We don't say that, and therefore the other one is koyin. In other words, he's learning out from right. So the assumption is that in the Mishnah, we're talking about the two of them are acquiring the talus by picking it up at the same time, and each one of them is acquiring half of it. So it means that each one, when he picks it up, is having a certain das that the other one is going to end up with half of it as well. So that shows, says Rami Rachama Kona Chaveiroi. So in a regular case, if it wasn't the two of them together, if it was just Reuven picking up the talus, having in mind that Shimon should acquire it, then that would work. In this case, what happens is Reuven and Shimon both pick it up together. Each one is picking it up. In effect, Rami Rachama says each one is picking it up for himself and for the other one. Now, the Gemara is going to ask later on, what do you mean? Each one is claiming the whole thing belongs to him. So we'll get to that soon. But anyway, so Rami Bachama says, if you were going to think that that the other person is not koine, where one person picks it up, and you could say again, because it's like tofus levachoy b'makom shechav l'achedim, if you were to compare it to that case of Levi taking property from Shimon to pay Reuven, we would say he can't do that because he's preventing Yehuda and Yisachar and so forth from exercising their claims on Shimon. If you were going to say that, says Rami Rachama, te'osa k'misha munachas agabe karka, then you would have to consider the other half of the talus would in effect be as though it's lying on the ground. Because if you were to say that when Reuven picks it up, he's only acquiring it for himself and nothing for Shimon, then relative to Reuven, it's as if the other half was still on the ground. V'zu k'misha munachas agabe karka, and the other end would also be considered as though it's still on the ground. V'lo yikna lo zeh v'lo zeh, the result would be neither one would be koine. And the fact is, we don't see that. The fact is, we see that even when they are both koine half of it eventually. So Rami Bachama says, you see from that, by the way, the Rashba brings in this connection from the Raivad. What happens, suppose that it's a smaller talus. Suppose that when you pick it up, it's one thing if it's a large talus where when you pick up one end of it, then the other end is necessarily going to be on the ground if somebody else is not there to pick it up, then you can make this argument. What about over here? What about if it's a smaller talus and when you pick it up, it's completely off the ground? So he brings from the diver. In that case, that might be different. Then in that case, we might say that he is koina the whole thing. On the other hand, the Rashba himself disagrees with that and says, listen, the fact is, the Gemara knows even at this stage of the argument that Reuven is not actually being koina on behalf of Shimon. He doesn't intend, at least, to acquire it on behalf of Shimon, because after all, he intends to acquire the whole talus, so therefore it doesn't really matter whether the other half is on the ground, whether the end is on the ground, or whether it's hanging in the air. Either way, the point is that he hasn't done a hagbah on the whole thing, and was saying the result of it is that Reuven acquires one end and Shimon the other end. So that's Rami Bachama's argument. Omar Rava, but Rava says that's not really a proof. Maybe in fact you could say that. Maybe in fact you could say that when one person picks up an aveda, having in mind that somebody else will acquire it, then he's not coin it. Now later on, by the way, and we would say in the regular case he's not coin it. Gilyan Ashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger over here refers to a Tosfos later on that says, later on when we discuss this point of Tosfos the Ba'achoyv on Daf Yud, there you have actually that Rava makes the assumption that Kona Chavera. So why over here is he saying Loi Kona Chavera? And the answer is because before, later on Daf Yud, he's asking a question to Rabbi Nachman. Here, this would be after that, and therefore he's saying that maybe in the based on what I learned from Reb Nachman, we can say Magbi Matsiro Chaver Loi Kona Chaver. But for Hocha Hainu Taimer, here Rava says there's a different reason to say that both of them are koine. Not because of the regular case, because you're right, that would be more like toifus lebal choiv mokum shachav la'achedim. That would be by Reuven picking it up and having in mind that he's picking up one end and he's being koina the other end on behalf of Shimon. That's preventing that now Levi or Yehuda or whoever are not able to come and instead pick up the other end. The reason why it works over here, v'hoch ha'ainu taimer, the reason why it works over here is a different point. Migud is zochi l'nafshei, because he's being zoicha for himself, zoicha nami l'chavre, then he's also zoicha for the other person. In other words, Rava is saying, if Reuven were to pick up the talus exclusively having in mind that Shimon should be koine, then that might not work, which again is a point that we're going to discuss later on Daf Yud. But here we're not talking about, when Reuven picks up the talus, he has no intention that Shimon should own the whole thing. His intention is that he should own half of it. So once he's acquiring half of it for himself, then also he can acquire the other half on behalf of Shimon. That doesn't prove about the kid. That would not be similar to Tofus the Baal Choy Mokum Shachav La'achedim. That kind of case would be, like we said, where Levi takes property from Shimon exclusively in order to pay Reuven. So the equivalent over here would be Reuven picks up the talus exclusively for Shimon to get it. But that's not what we're dealing with over here. So therefore, Rava says you can't necessarily prove that the two cases are similar. And Rava continues, Teda, in fact, you can prove that just because a person, you can prove that when a person is doing something on behalf of himself and somebody else, that it does work. She'ilu omer l'shluchet seyo gnoivli. Suppose that one person tells his shliach, go steal something from me, v'gonav, and that person does do the gneva, potter. Then he would be potter from, then the mishaleach would be potter from kefal, because as we learned in Baba Kama, divri arab, the divri atama, divri bishoymin, the shliach, the mishaleach can say, look, I told the person to steal. How was I supposed to know he's going to listen to me? Shouldn't he have realized that he should listen to Hashem instead of to me? So I'm potter. He's chai b'dinah shemayim, but as far as dinah odim, as far as kefal, he's potter. But, continues Rava, v'shutfin shegonvu, yet if we have partners together steal something, and one of them, Rashi explains, takes it out from the reshus of the owner, having in mind to be koine for himself and the other person, chayobin, then both of them are going to be chayiv and kevel. My timer, now why would that be? Evidently, because that works, because even if you say that he can't acquire it on behalf of the other person when he's doing only for the other person. So if Reuven tells Shimon to steal and Shimon goes and steals it, then Reuven is not going to be chai of the capel. But if Shimon is stealing it, having in mind that it should be, that he's going to own half of it and Reuven's going to own half, then it will work and both of them are chai of Shmamino. That proves it. That's the point of Rashi, that the proof is from the case where one of them takes it out of Rashus Bailim, having in mind the other one. Tosfos says that actually, no, the context of the Gemara, which Rashi is referring to, is actually talking about, we learned it in Bava Kamma, towards the end of the seventh parak, was actually talking about dinim of tzvicha or mechira, as far as shechting. Where we said that actually tzvicha and mechira are one of those rare examples where we do say that there's a shliach l'dvar aveira based on a limud from a pasuk that we learned over there. So the fact is, if Reuven tells Shimon, go shech the animal, and Shimon does, Reuven is going to be chayev in the Tashlum al-Ba b'chamisha for the Shechita. So we can't be referring to that over here. Rather, Tosfos says that Shutfin Shigonvu means both of them picked it up at the same time. So it's similar to the Talus over here, where Reuven and Shimon are picking up, each one is picking up an end at the same time. And we're saying, in that case, both of them are acquiring the animal or whatever it is that they stole with one of the methods of kinyanim by which a ganav becomes chayev, as we looked at Baba Kama, and therefore both of them are chayev, and therefore that would be exactly the same case as the tablets over here. So that's Rava's proof. So you see that he can't do it exclusively on behalf of the other person, but the two of them can do it together. So not necessarily like Rami Bachoma that was saying, if Reuven were to pick something up, having in mind exclusively that Shimon is going to be koine, it might not work unless Shimon himself eventually does a kinyan on it and somebody else conceivably could take it away from them. But here you have the case of Nigud Zochi L'Nafshei, Zochi Nami L'Chak. So Rava continues, Omar Rava, Hashta De'amrit Aminin Migui, now that actually we're saying Or Da'amri, or Da'amrinon, actually, I'm going to back changes it to, because Da'amrit would be that you said, but Rava himself is the one who just made this point. So it means now that we're saying, or now that I've said, whatever. With that said, there are Mephoshim, we'll have the Giris over here, Rabba instead of Rava. Anyway, once we say Amrinan Migui, that we do say this kind of thing of Migui. Now, we don't mean this isn't the Migui of I made this claim and I could have made a better claim. Migui just means because. So here we're using migui because he's zoicha for the other person, or at least is attempting to, because he's zoicha or attempting to be zoicha for himself, therefore he's able to do it for somebody else as well. So that's what we mean over here, this principle of migui. Now that we say that, then the result is, Rava says, we can learn another din from it. Keresh upikeah. Suppose that the two people who pick up a metziah, suppose the two people who pick up a talis, one's a cheresh, that is a deaf mute who doesn't have das, and the other one is a pikeach, and the two of them picked up a metziah together. Since the cheresh is going to be koine, even though he doesn't have any das, nevertheless, the chachamim made it a koine, that a cheresh is able to be koine things, which made dauke shalom. So therefore, because of that, koine pikeach, therefore, says Rava, the Pikeach is going to be able to acquire the other half of it. So the Gemara asks, why? On the contrary, you could say the Cheresh is able to acquire because one end of it was being picked up by a Bendas, by a Pikeach. So now the part that the Cheresh picked up, the end that he picked up, we're going to allow him to, we're going to say he's koine because Mipnei Davke Shalom, and the other end is not on the ground either because the other person, a Ben Das, picked it up, and you can say that Ben Das picked it up on his behalf. Ela Pikeach b'may koine, but the question is, how is the Pikeach supposed to be acquiring it? One end he picked up, fine, but the other end, as far as he's concerned, might as well be on the ground because the other end is being held by the Cheresh, and that's not koine on behalf of the Pikeach. It's only koine for the Cheresh himself, Mipnei Davke Shalom. So what's the logic? Why should both of them be koine? So Gemara says, you're right. Ela Ema. So you're right. We have to correct it. Cheresh kona Pikeach lekona. You're right. We have to say the Cheresh acquires his half. The Pikeach is not acquiring anything because the Cheresh, or the, again, we're saying, or we'd be saying, actually, the Cheresh would be koine the whole thing. The Cheresh would be koine the whole thing. One end because he picked it up, and the other end because the Pikeach picked it up on behalf of him. The Pikeach is not going to be koine at all because, again, you have a non-Ben Das on the other end. So my migui. So in that case, what does Rava mean when he mentioned migui? The original version of Rava's statement was that we're deriving from the fact that if two regular people, two picks, can pick up the talus, and it works because among bia matzia lachaveri kona, or it works because migui de zocher the nafshe zocher nami lachaveri. Then we're going to say migui. Then the same way that works by a cheresh and a pikeach. But now that we've corrected Rava's statement to say that only one of them, the Cheresh, is acquiring, and the other one, the Pikeach, is not acquiring at all, where's the Migui? Why is he even bringing in this din over here? And the answer is, what he means is, Migui de Shnei Cherushim ba'alma konu, because if it were to be two Cherushim who picked it up, what if Reuven and Shimon, who pick it up, are both Cherushim? And again, you would have the Takonis Chachavim, Be'edakish Shalom, that each one acquires what he picks up. So they don't come to fight with other people who might try to grab it away from them. So because that works by two cheroshin, hainami koni, then therefore we can say that here also it's only one cheresh and the other one is a pikeach, and nevertheless it works and he's able to acquire it. Tosfos actually wonders. I mean, the fact is you have to really apply two migos over here. The whole point that two cherushim can acquire in the first place would be based on the first migui that we said, migui de zocher l'nafshei, zocher nami l'chavrei. Once he's able to acquire it for himself, he's also, along with that, able to acquire for the other one, and therefore not considered for the other one as though it's lying on the ground. And now we have to apply a second migui. Do we really do that? Tosfos wonders. So in fact, the Ritva discusses it and says that, yes, the Gemara is understanding that you could do that. Okay. But the Gemara says, hi, my, what kind of a comparison is that? You're comparing a cheresh and a pikeach to two cheroshim. There's no comparison at all. Because im timtza loyma, hamagbiya matzia l'chaveret, kona chaveret, even if you're going to argue, like even if you're going to argue like Rami Bachama before and say that the reason why it works by two people is because Magbia Matsia Lachaber, Kona Chaber, that even if Reuven were to pick it up exclusively having in mind for Shimon, then it would work, then you can say, Hani Mili Hechad Kamagbala Adapted Adaita the Chaber. That would only work where he's picking it up, having in mind the other person. So when Reuven picks up one end of the talus, he has in mind that Shimon should acquire the other half. And that's what Rami Bachama was saying, that he deduces somehow from our Mishnah, as we're going to say soon, that that would be the case. Hi, but when it comes to the Pikeach and the Cheresh, it's a completely different thing. Adaiti didei komagule, he himself is picking it up, having in mind for himself to be zoicha with it. So he himself is not able to be koine because the cheresh picking up the other end is not able to be mezaka to him. How could he possibly be makne to somebody else? If the pikeach himself is not can't acquire on the basis of the cheresh picking it up, then the pikeach picking it up in turn has no ability to have any effect on the cheresh that the cheresh should acquire it. So the flow of the Gemara is a little. Is a little complicated. Marsha explains that first the Gemara had said that that what the Gemara was saying is that in this case a pikeach and cheresh, we would say now again we have the question that Tosfos asked, how could you do two migoys? So what the Gemara is saying over here is if there's a pikeach and cheresh, you don't have to resort to a double migoy. Instead, what you say is, here we would apply Rami Bachama's din of Hamagbia Matsia Lachaberi, Kona Chaberi, and therefore we would say once one of them is acquiring it, once the Pikeach is acquiring his half, so does the Cheresh. And we learn that from the fact, the same way as two Chereshim are able to acquire it, but the Gemara says that no, even Rami Bachama wouldn't apply Hamagbia Matsia Lachaberi, Kona Chaberi over here. Not only Rava wouldn't have to agree with him over here, but even Rami Bachama himself would never mean his din to apply to a case like this. So how does it work? What are you going to tell me? Because the Pikeach is acquiring for himself, therefore he's able to now make it that the Cheresh acquires his half. But the fact is, the Pikeach himself doesn't have a valid way of acquiring this talus because the other end is being held by a Cheresh, and the Cheresh is not a Ben Das and has no ability to be makna anything to him. So the Gemara says, Ela Ema. No, so you're right. We have to correct Rava's statement yet again. Because the Pikeach is not acquiring, and again, because the other end is being held by a cheresh, and in effect, as far as the Pikeach is concerned, that end is lying on the ground, then therefore, like on a cheresh, therefore, in that case, the cheresh doesn't acquire his end either. So nobody acquires anything, and it still remains a metzia, that anybody else can pick up. So the Gemara doesn't ask, so what did he mean by migui? Because what it means is, in other words, that he means because a person is able to be zoicha for somebody else on the basis of migui, well, when he's not able to be zoicha on behalf of somebody else, and in this case, the cheresh can't be koina on behalf of the pikeach because the cheresh is not a ben das. In turn, the pikeach is not able to be koina on behalf of the cheresh because he doesn't have exclusive ownership of this talus. The other end is on the ground and he hasn't picked it up completely. So because of that, neither one is koina. So you're going to ask, in that case, why is it different than the case of two cheroshim, where if the two of them had picked it up, they would be koine because of takonis chachamim. Why don't we apply that over here as well? The reason is, hosam, in the case of two cheroshim, takino hu l'rabbanan, dole osi l'insuya. The chachamim made a takona that each one of them, when he's picking it up, even though you're right, neither one is a ben das, nevertheless, each one is able to acquire for himself and to strengthen the kinyan of the other one. The reason is the chamed takana delay also in suya. We don't want people to get into arguments. You're going to have the cheresh is going to pick up something. Forget about the case of two cherishim for the moment. You're going to have, in general, one cheresh is going to pick up something. Somebody else is going to say, hey, wait, but you're a cheresh. You're not a ben das. Therefore, I can go grab it away from you. And we don't want that. We don't want people to start fighting. So therefore, even by two cherishim, then the chachamim make that rule. But over here, over here, though, we're not worried about that. Meima Omar, the cheresh is going to realize to himself, pikeach lekoni ano ekni. If even the pikeach is not acquiring his half how am I supposed to acquire my half? So he's going to realize, logically enough, he may not be a Ben Das, but he still has the ability to reason. And he's going to realize that in this case, this is different than the case where he had picked it up himself, or where two Chershim picked it up. And therefore, there's not going to be any fighting. If somebody else grabs it away from him, he's going to have enough sense to realize that he actually wasn't Kone, and therefore, there's not going to be any problem. So now, Omelet of Achabre. So far again, the flow of the Gemara has been that Romi Bachoma started saying we do wives somehow from our Mishnah that Hamagbiya Matzila Chaveri Kona Chaveri, and Rava had said that's not really a proof because actually in our Mishnah the fact that each of them is Kone is based on a different consideration, on the consideration of Nigur Dezocher and Nafshei Zocher Namel Chaveri. So now, having dealt with that point, now we're going to get back to where exactly is Rami Bar Chama getting his point from our Mishnah anyway.
But the
someone here doesn't have the right. No, so that's what we're saying. The Cheresh can't be Zoicha for somebody else. So when it comes to two Cheresh, you have a specific Takona de Rabbanon, the Bnei Darkei Shalom, that they should both be acquiring it, but not when it's Cheresh and Bekech. So Omelet of Acha Breder of Adel and of Ashi. Where exactly in our Mishnah is Rami Bar Chama being medayik from that? You're going to say he's learning it from the Reisha where it says Shnayim Oichsim Batalus, and you're going to say that each one ends up with half the talus. What do you mean? How can you learn from there? The fact is, Hossam, in that case, they're not saying they both found it at the same time. One of them is saying it's all mine because I exclusively picked it up. And the other one says the same thing. If they agreed they both picked it up at the same time, then fine, you could learn Rami Bachama's din from that. And the fact is, they're arguing that we didn't both pick it up at the same time. I picked it up first, and then the guy came and grabbed on to half. So there's no proof from there. Ella, no, we're going to say Mehoda Katani Zerma Kula Shali with Zerma Kula Shali. So fine, you can say maybe Rami Bachama is deriving it from the fact that the Mishnah continues that each one says the talus is all mine. You would ask, Ha Tu Lomali, now why does it need to add those words? Ella, Mishnah Yaseira Shma Mina Magbim Atzila Chaveri Kona Chaveri. Maybe you would say that because of those extra words in the Mishnah, then you would say that then we would say, so in other words, what we say is, in this case, fine, we say you both picked it up at the same time, and each one is Magbiya Matzila Chaver, Kona Chaver, right? So each one of you has in fact acquired half the talus, and therefore the result is that Yachloku. And then the fact that we don't say Rashi Ad, the fact that we don't say we don't want to put it in escrow, and we don't want to say we don't know which one of them is lying, and the fact that we require a shavua, that was we said before that people shouldn't be grabbing a talus from the other person. But basically, we would say that once we do that, but that already we know from the first words Shnai Merchus and Metalus, we say Yachloiku. So when it adds Zayim Akula Shali v'Zayim Akula Shali, that would mean we could learn from that the Mishnah is also implying this extra din of Hamagbi Matzil Chaber Nekona Chaber. In other words, the point Rashi makes is that the point is, what if a third party were to come and say, I want some of this talus? If we were to say, I'm like, then a third party would have the right to take this talus, because he would say, look, neither of you have acquired the talus yet. From my point of view, it's as if it was still lying on the ground, because neither of you have acquired anything, therefore I should take it. But now that we say that no, once Rami Bar Chama is saying, I'm like, the result is that each one of them has in fact done a valid kinyan on his end of the talus. So therefore there's no room for anybody else to take it.
But this third party, I understand that why the one guy you picked up for the second guy is not Zechav, but why would the third party be there?
Because the point is like this. If we were to say that I'm a Bimatsiyo Chaver, Loi Kona Chaver, so then Rava had said we need to resort to the point of Nigud Zechav and Nafshei. If we were to say, if we didn't have either of those considerations, if we were to say that when two people pick up something together, neither one is koine, then that would leave room for a third person to come and get it. One second. The fact is, then the Mishnah tells us two things. First, it says zayma ani matzasiya v'zayma ani matzasiya. Then it says zayma kula shali v'zayma kula shali. So now, from the zayma ani matzasiya, you can learn from that the fact that in general that they are koine, that they are koine, and therefore no third party can get involved. Now, when we say zayim akula shali, means, in other words, that we're in addition learning. It's not just because migud is zochel nafshe. It's also because Rami Bachama is maybe learning from that. It's also because it's also because hamagbiyah matzil chaver kona chaver, right? And therefore, even if it hadn't been that Reuven and Shimon both picked it up together, even if indeed Reuven had picked it up all by himself and had in mind Shimon, it would also work, and Levi would not be able to come and take the talus and say that but you didn't acquire it on behalf of Shimon, and therefore it's available for me to take. So we could say, learning from those extra words in the Mishnah, Zayim HaKol HaShali, that concept. So in other words, in effect, the Mishnah would be telling us two dinim. Number one, that if both of them picked it up, that each one is coin a half. And number two, that even if one of them picked it up, having in mind exclusively for the other one, then also he's coin a and nobody else. And either way, nobody else is able to get involved.
What's Migud is HaKol HaNafshei?
Migud is HaKol HaNafshei was, we said earlier on the Amud, that Rava had said, not HaMagbiyah Matzil HaKhaber HaKona HaKhaber. If Reuven picks it up, having in mind Shimon, that wouldn't work. But here, what it is each one is Zoyche in his half of the talus, and because of that, he's also able to be Mizaka, the other one, in the half of the talus, and therefore the result is that both of them are coin.
Can you explain the words Migud Zochel
Nafshe? Migud means because, the Zochel Nafshe, that he is Zoyche for himself, Zochi Nami Lachavre, he is also Zoyche for, on behalf of the other person. That was Rava's point. Rami Bachama's point, which is what we're dealing with now, is a different point. Which means that if Reuven picks up something having Shimon exclusively in mind, he has no intention of acquiring it for himself, then it works. And we don't say, in other words, that he's preventing other people's potential claims to the thing. So therefore, we would learn that from the words of the Mishnah, Kula Shali, that why does the Mishnah have to add that each one is saying Kula Shali is to teach us that point. Whether each of them means to acquire half for himself, or the whole thing for himself, or whether he b'chalal means to acquire it only for the other person, either way, the fact that there are third parties being prevented from taking it is neither here nor there. So maybe that's where Rami Bachama is learning it from.
So what's the exact difference between the two opinions?
Because the difference would be, what about if he's picking it up exclusively for the other person? If Reuven picks up the talus exclusively having in mind, I'm picking it up in order for Shimon to be Zoyche in it. Would that work or not? According to Rami Bachama, it works. And therefore, Levi now can't go and take that talus. According to Rava, it wouldn't work because Shimon didn't do a kinyan on it himself. Reuven's kinyan wasn't for himself. Therefore, the talus is still available. And if Levi were to come and take it now, then it would be a valid kinyan.
Without these two dinim from this Mishnah, this guy went ahead and took something, lifted it up at least 3 inches. Picked up and walked.
Yeah.
He did all the
kinyan
you have to do.
But again, if he was doing it, if he was doing it for somebody else, then that's what Rami Bachama and Rava are arguing. Would that work or not? Fact is, when a person does a kinyan, he does it for himself. So when he does it for himself, fine, a person is allowed to take something for himself. But when he's doing it for somebody else, you could argue there are other people who potentially could have just as well taken it. Why do you, Reuven, have the right to take it on behalf of Shimon? Levi can come and say, I wanted it instead.
But he already picked it up. And
it doesn't matter. According to Rami Bachama, it's true. At that point, Levi can't say anything. But according to Rava, he could. Levi can tell Reuven, look, I understand you picked it up, but your picking it up did not constitute a kinyan because you didn't do it for yourself. So therefore, there's no kinyan, and therefore I have the right to take it. Zochel Adam Shalei B'fanav wouldn't work over here because you have the opposite consideration of Tofes L'Baal Chayv Mokum Shechav L'Acherim. He is giving a benefit to Shimon, but at the same time, he's preventing Levi and Yehuda and so forth from having a benefit. And you can't necessarily do that yet. Okay, so anyway, so we're going to say that maybe Rami Bachama. What?
The halacha is like Rava or Rami Bachama?
The halacha is actually like Rami Bachama, that the poskim paskim like Rami Bachama, that I'm being Matzil Chaveri, Kona Chaveri, mainly on the grounds that he or the Gemara is spending a lot of time discussing his opinion. And generally, when the Gemara does that, it indicates the halacha is like that. But we're going to get back to this point of we're going to get back to it further on Daf Yud, and we're going to discuss it in more detail. Anyway, so you're going to say that Rami Bachama is learning from those words Kula Shali. So in other words, we're going to say, getting back to the Gemara then. So again, we said we can't learn from the case of Shnaim Ochsim Batalis, Bigzeh Ma'ani Mitzasiyah, Bigzeh Ma'ani Mitzasiyah, because each one is actually claiming that I picked up the whole thing. So you're going to say that that Rami Bachama is going to learn it from the words that each one says Kol Shali, and you have to ask Hatu Lamali, why would it need to add those words? Obviously, as we said at the beginning of the Masechta, if he's saying I picked it up, then he means Kol Shali, and the other one is saying I picked it up means Kol Shali. Ella, we're going to say Mishni Yaseira because of the extra words in the Mishnah Shema Min Amagvim Atzila Chaver Kana Chaver. However, the Gemara says, "V'holkim the reisha b'mitziyav a sefer b'mekach hamemker." The fact is, on Beis Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, we said that no, the Kol Shali is not extra words in the Mishnah from which we can learn another din. Rather, it's talking about another case where the two of them are arguing who bought it from the storekeeper, where we said both of them gave money to the storekeeper, one midaita, one baal korchai, and the question is which is which. And the storekeeper is not around to ask, or he doesn't remember, or we don't have, he doesn't have any nemonis once the thing is not in his possession, as we talked about on Beis Amud Beis. And therefore, so that Kol Shali is teaching us a different case. We can't have, it's not extra words in the Mishnah from which Rami Bachama can learn a new din. So Elami Sefer. So rather, we're going to say, fine, we're going to continue with the continuation of the Mishnah and say maybe Rami Bachama is learning from there. Where it continues, Zeima Kol Shali, Zeima Chetzi Shali. You have the case in the Mishnah where one of them says it all belongs to me and the other one says half of it belongs to me. And we said they swear and one ends up with three quarters and one ends up with one quarter. Ha tu lamali. Now you'd have to ask, why does the Mishnah have to tell us that case? That would be an extra clause in the Mishnah from which we could learn the concept of meaning again that no third party can now get involved and say, wait, there was no valid kinyan over here. I should be able to take the talis if I want. No, we're going to say that not. But the Gemara says, and we might do mitzia. Fine, but who says, after all, that case of the Mishnah, where one says, I own the whole thing, and the other one says, I own half of it, who says that part of the Mishnah is talking about a mitzia? Maybe that part of the Mishnah is talking about where they bought it. And therefore, that doesn't show how I'm going to be a mitzia l'chaber kona chaber, because there's no magbi a mitzia over there. B'chitema. You're going to say, of course, it's not Mekach HaMemka, because then what's the Chiddush? Of course, we know it already from earlier. You would say it's Tzrich. You would say there is a Chiddush in it. Sakur and Chamina. You would think otherwise, maybe the one who's saying it's half mine, meaning I only paid for half of it, Lahevi Kameshiv Aveda, maybe we should in fact consider him like a Meshav Aveda, and therefore, because after all, he has a Migur, he could have said Kula Shali, and therefore the Liftar, and he should be potter from swearing and be able to collect his half without swearing. Meaning, in other words, now the where he says Kula Shali, he would have to swear because he's saying Chetzi Shali, then maybe we'd have a reason to potter him from a Shavua. It's not like Modim Mitzvah, because here he's not claiming the other person owes him. Here it's the other person is not claiming that he owes me money. We're arguing who owns it. Yeah. So Kamash Malan, and therefore the Mishnah would be telling us that nevertheless we don't say that. On the contrary, we would say Hi Yarumi Kama Arim. On the contrary, he might be playing a trick over here, which we learned this point a few days ago. Sabo, he may figure, if I claim the whole thing is mine, I'm going to have to swear. And therefore, let me rather say that I own only half. That way I'll be like a Meshav Aveda, the Iftar, and I'll be potter from a Shavua. So you could say that's the Chiddush of that part of the Mishnah. Not that we have a Mishnah Yisera, an extra clause in the Mishnah from which Rami Bachama can learn a din. So we're still wondering, where is Rami Bachama getting his concept of he's saying that Zois Aymeres, from our Mishnah, we can see this point, where do we see this point implied in the Mishnah? Yeah. So, Ella Meha. Rather, Rami Bachama can be learning from the continuation of the Mishnah. We said that if there are two people riding on an animal, and one riding it and one leading it, and each one claims the animal is his, then we also say that Yachlut. So, ha tu lamali, we would have to ask, why does the Mishnah need to tell us that part? Maybe that extra part is meant to teach us about Hamagbi Matzila Chavera Kona Chavera, because again, you wouldn't need it. So therefore, because you already know the basic din from earlier in the Mishnah, and therefore it can teach us this point. Why do we say Yachloik? Well, because each one, in effect, has done a kinyan on behalf of himself and on behalf of the other person. But the Gemara says, still not. V'duma hakamash malunder roichiv nami koni. Maybe in fact the chiddush of that part of the Mishnah is to say that even the one who's riding and hasn't actually done meshicha on it, meaning Rashi explains the animal hasn't necessarily moved because of him. He's not actually if he was kicking it or something and making it move, fine, that would be meshicha. But let's say he's just sitting astride the animal and it hasn't actually moved. So maybe the Mishnah is informing us. Nevertheless, he's sitting on the animal, and that's enough for it to be considered a king, as we're going to talk about, as we're going to work that out in detail on Omid Beis. So maybe that's the Chiddush. And the Rosh actually points out differently. The Rosh points out the next piece of Gemara is going to talk about that. In fact, he's not Koina unless the animal moves. So what does it actually mean over here that if it doesn't move, that the Chiddush would be that if it doesn't move, he's Koina? So rather, the Rosh explains, in other words, that the point is that when both of them are riding on the animal, both of them, both the one in front and the one behind, are both Koina. You shouldn't think that maybe one is causing it to move more than the other, and therefore only the first one is Koina. So that part of the Mishnah is teaching us that din. Again, it's not a Mishnah Yisera. Ela Misefer. Rather, we're going to say from the end of the Mishnah, the very end of the Mishnah, which said Bizman Shehein Modin, when they both agree that, for example, they picked it up at the same time, Osh Yeshlehen Edim, or they both have Edim, that they picked it up at the same time, or that they bought it, or that they both paid money for it, or whatever, Chok and Bloy Shavur, then you don't need a Shavur, then they just divide it. Now, B'mai, now what case are we talking about? If we're talking about that they're both say that they're both moida, that they both bought it, that each one is saying I paid money for it, and each one is moida to the other, what's the chiddush? Of course, then they only they split it without a shavur. Evidently, that part of the Mishnah must be talking about a metziah. Therefore, that shows that din. So that's the part of the Mishnah when Rami Bachama said Zois Eimeres. From this we see Hamagdim Atzila Chaveret Kona Chaveret. He's referring to that last line of the Mishnah. The Rava Amalach. What is Rava going to answer? He who disagreed with Rami Bachama and said Hamagdim Atzila Chaveret is not the Loi Kona Chaveret. He would say from that part of the Mishnah you learn Miga Dezochel Nafshi Zochel Namel Chaveret, because he's Zoicha for himself. Therefore, he's Zoicha for the other. So yes, because the two of them here picked it up together, and each one was zoicha for himself, then therefore he's also zoicha for the other. But not that the Mishnah would be implying that if he picked it up exclusively, having the other one in mind, that the other one should be koina. Like Rami Bachama says, that Rava says you can't derive from the Mishnah.
No,
so that's the point. Rami Bachama is saying when Reuven picks it up, having in mind, I don't want it for myself. I'm picking it up and I'm going to bring it to Shimon. Rami Bachama says that's a valid kinyan. Levi now or anybody else does not have any rights to that item. Rava is disagreeing. Rava is saying only when Reuven is being kona something of it for himself, then he can also be makna the other part to Shimon. So Rava would say that I agree there's something we're learning from the last line in the Mishnah, but it's not like you, Rami Bachama, are saying Hamagbiya Matzila Chaveret Kona Chaveret. Rather, you're only learning the lesser thing of Migur Dezocher Nafshe. That if Reuven and Shimon pick up the talus together and they both are agreeing with one another that we picked it up, and therefore Yachloiko, and therefore we don't need a Shavua, then fine. We say how did Shimon acquire any part of the talus? Because Reuven picked up the other end, having him in mind, and vice versa. But had it been that Reuven picked up the talus exclusively and then had in mind, I'm not picking it up for myself, I'm picking it up to give to Shimon, then Rava would say the Mishnah is not implying that anybody is koina over here. In fact, nobody has been koina, and Levi in principle would be able to come and take the talus.
I'm not speaking a lot about a case where one guy is driving a couple from where he tells his friend, pick up that seat for me.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that on Duff Yard. We're still talking about Hamagbiyam Tzilach. That's what I'm saying. We're gonna take up this point of Hamagbiyam Tzilach Haberet Kona Haberet. We're gonna take up that point again on Daf Yud and then discuss it further. Okay.
According to Rava, if one of them is made a shliach to Kone for himself and for the other one, does that work?
So that's not necessarily so simple either, because even if he makes him a shliach, the fact is he is the makam shechav la'achedim. The fact is he's preventing other people from getting it. So we're going to see when we talk about this later, the case here where somebody is riding on an animal and tells the other one, pick up this thing for me. We're going to take up that point, and we're going to see whether making him a shliach helps in that regard.
But where does Rava take it from that you have to acquire for yourself in order to be also able to acquire for
someone
else?
Because otherwise you have tofus l'bal chayv, makam shechav la'achedim. The same way as you can't say, like we said before, if Shimon owes Reuven money, Levi doesn't have the right on his own to go and take money from Shimon to pay Reuven, where Shimon also owes other people money, because then the other people can say, look, you're benefiting Reuven, but you're harming us, and you can't do that without our permission, or without at least a hashah from Reuven or something. Keep in mind, Hashah actually works on the grounds of Zocher the Nafshei Zocher Nami L'Chavrei. If Reuven writes Levi a Shtar Hashah, what he's saying, in effect, we've learned about this in Baba Kama, he tells him, Dun Uzchei the Nafshah. He's telling you, I'm handing over, I'm being makne, this money that I'm claiming from Shimon, I'm being makne to you, and when you go and are arguing with Shimon and taking him to Beis Din over it, it's your money that you're doing it on behalf of. Some percentage of it is your money or whatever. So that works. Because then it's then exactly that. He's then exactly that. But otherwise... Yeah, well, right. It doesn't matter whether he has a shtar or not. The point is, he has a shtar hashah. Yeah, he has a power of attorney. But without that, it can't work. Because again, how can he benefit Reuven at the expense of Yehuda and Yisachar and so on? So here with the Metzia, Rava is arguing with the same kind of thing. Whereas Rami Bachama holds that there's a distinction, because there you have there's a das acheres involved, and here you don't have. Here, yes, potentially Levi or Yehuda or anybody who's walking by could see the talus and pick it up. But the fact is, right now it's hefker, so it's different.
But
before anybody picks it up.
It's not at the expense of others, because these others have never expressed any intention of acquiring the talus to begin with.
That's why, according to Rami Bachama, that's why there's no problem. There's no das acheres involved. According to Rava, though, it's still comparable. And the fact is, potentially, if any of them had walked by, they could have taken the talus, and therefore, so it's one thing if Reuven picks it up for himself, fine. Because hey, the person is able to pick up a metziah for himself. If Reuven picks it up, having in mind that he should be koina part and Shimon should be koina part, also fine. Rava is going to say that works because of Migri. But if he's picking up exclusively for Shimon, then Rava is arguing this is an example of Tofus the Baal Choyv Mokum Shechav La'Acherim, and it's not going to work.
But the fact that the Mishnah says Shnei Achuzim Batalis, it excludes everybody else.
That's what we're saying, because if both of them picked it up, then we have either one. We have either Hamagbiyam Atzila Chaber Kona Chaber, right? Or we have Nigud Zocher L'Nafshei Zocher Nami L'Chavrei, and the fact is, in that case, anyway, each one is claiming that I picked up the whole thing for myself. That's what we went through, the different parts of the Mishnah. We concluded the last part of the Mishnah, where they both agree, yes, you and I picked up the talus at the same time. From that is where we can learn either Rami Bachomer's or Rava's Din. Either we can say that the fact that the Yachloiku B'loi Shavua is based on the concept of Amabim Atzila Chaveh Kona Chaveh, right? So therefore, when Reuven picks up his end, he's also Makne, the other half, to Shimon, and vice versa. That would be according to Rami Bachama. Or according to Rava, it's a matter of that Reuven, that the mechanism behind it, the halachic theory behind it, is Reuven is Kona, his half, and therefore he's able to also be Makne, the other half, to Shimon. And again, the nafkamina would be, what if he's picking it up exclusively having Shimon in mind, which is not a case that the Mishnah is actually discussing. Would that work or not? According to Rami Bachama, yes. According to Rava, no.
Also, picking it up, not picking it up for trouble.
Well, that's the point. But in the end of the Mishnah, though, they both agree that we both picked it up at the same time, and therefore Yachloku Bloy Shur. So that would be a case. In that case, they Taka don't need to come to Beis Din. We just need to know what the din is, and the din is Yachloku. All right, we need to move on. The Mishnah said, "Hoyushnaim Ruchman." We said if two people are riding on an animal, or one of them is riding and one of them is leading it, and each one says "Kula Shali," then again they take a shavua and each one gets half the animal. Which, as we said, doesn't mean they split the animal in half; it means they split the value of it. Omer Rav Yosef, Omerli Rav Yehuda. So Rav Yosef says that Rav Yehuda had told me, "Shamet minei demar Shmuel Tauti." I heard in this connection two dinim from Shmuel. Mar Shmuel means my Rebbe Shmuel. Rochuv umanim. You have a case where a person is riding, and you have a case where a person is leading the animal. Chad koni v'chad lekoni, where one of them Shmuel had said that he's koina, and the other one Shmuel had said he's not koina. V'lo yadina hey minayu, and Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't know which one Shmuel said is koina and which one not. So the Gemara says, hey chidomi. Well, we have to first figure out what case is Shmuel talking about. Ilema rochuv l'chudei umanig l'chudei. Do we mean that we're talking about one person is exclusively riding an animal? Nobody is leading the animal. So, say for example, he found an animal of heifer, and he got on the back of the animal and started and is sitting on there. Or manhig l'chode, or you have exclusively somebody found a lost animal and he went and led the animal. What's the question? Manhig l'chode mi'ika manda amad laikani? Then there's no question. Obviously, the manhig himself, it's not that nobody could possibly say that he's not koina. The fact is, he did mashicha. So then you would talk about, in that case, if a person sits astride an animal, is that enough to be koina? But there's no question the manhig is for sure enough to be koina because he did mashicha. Tosfos actually points out the truth is there is an opinion of Reb Shimon in Kiddushin who says that a behemoth, you need hagbah, you need lifting up. It's not enough to do mashicha. However, the Stam Mishnah over there said, our Stam Mishnah says, Echad Rochov, Echad Manig, but they're koina. So that implies then, so we're not paying any attention to Reb Shimon's opinion as far as that goes.
How about when you make mashicha, you're sort of lifting up the animal?
You're not lifting the animal when you do mashicha. You're making it walk, but that's not the same thing as lifting it up. Lifting it up would mean lifting it off the ground. Anyway, whatever. The point is, so obviously Reb Yehuda knows enough to know that's not the subject. Rather, Rabbi Yehuda's question would be where you have two people, one is riding on the animal and the other one is leading the animal, and each one says, Kol Shali. So Shmuel is saying only one of them is Koina, and the question is which one? So the question is, my Rochuv Odifta Tafisba, do we say that the one who is riding on the animal has the stronger claim to it because he's actually holding on to the animal? Now, Tosfos explains, doesn't mean he's holding on with the fact that he's sitting on it or the fact with his feet or whatever. The fact that he's holding the reins of the animal is called Tofus. And Tosfos says that if the fact is it is maybe walking a little bit because of that. So maybe that's enough for him to be Koina. On the other hand, Oduma Manhik Odif, the Azla Machamase. Or maybe the one who's leading the animal is more, it has a stronger claim because it's actually walking, or as Tosfos says, walking a considerable amount because of him. Because Meshicha basically means you have to have, it leaves the whole space where it was before. So you could have, for example, the one sitting on the animal, it walks like one step, but it's still partially in the same place it was before, as opposed to the manig would be moving it and it's going a considerable distance. So which one? That would be Rabbi Yehuda's son. Amar Rabbi Yosef. So then Rabbi Yosef says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar li Rabbi Yehuda, nech ziyana. So Rabbi Yehuda himself told me, I have this suffix, but let's see if we can figure this out. Ditnan, we learned in a Mishnah in Masechta Kilayim. Now we know you're not allowed to have two different kinds of animals pull a wagon or do any kind of work together. So a Mishnah says, Hamanhig, if a person leads two animals of Kilayim together to pull a plow or a wagon or whatever, sofik as aboyim, then he gets malchus because he's over on the lav. Vayosha bakorin sofik as aboyim, and also the person sitting in the carriage is also going to be chayav malchus. Now, Rab Meir poter as a yosha bakorin. Now, Rab Meir says that the one who's sitting in the carriage is poter because he didn't do anything to actually make the animal move. Now, so continues Rabbi Yehuda. Since Shmuel flips around the two opinions, he has a version of the Mishnah that has the opinions the other way around, that says v'chachamim poter nasa yoshim b'karin, that on the contrary, the chachamim say the one who's sitting in the wagon, in the carriage is poter. That means that Shmuel holds that the one who's sitting there is not doing anything. Shmamina rochav l'chodei leikoni. Therefore, we can deduce from that, the same way, the one who's sitting on top of the animal is not considered to be the one who's doing anything. So therefore, v'choshken rochav b'mkoy manhig. How much more so here, where you have a manhig as well, where you have one person is riding, is sitting on the animal, and the other one is actually causing the animal to move. No question, then it should mean, based on what Shmuel is saying, that only the manhig is going to be koina, the rochav was not, because we're saying based on that Mishnah in Kilayim, based on Shmuel's version of that Mishnah in Kilayim, just riding an animal, or in this case, sitting in the carriage, is not enough for it to be considered that he actually did it. But so we were saying it's a comparison, yeah. So Omalei Abayel Rabbi Yosef Hazimnin Sagian Amrit Lanechzi Anan. What do you mean? Many times you've told us that we should be able to figure this out on the basis of the Mishnah and Kilayim. But like Amrit Lan Mishmeid Rabbi Yehuda, you never told it to us in the name of Rabbi Yehuda. Well, why all of a sudden now are you telling that to us? In other words, yes, you've told us. We've gone through this whole discussion before, but you always said that this proof from the Mishnah and Kilayim is your own proof. Now all of a sudden you're telling us you heard it from Rabbi Yehuda. Why didn't you ever tell us that before? Omalei, so Rabbi Yosef says, Ibra, it's true. Rabbi Yehuda did say that. V'dachrin and nami, the amrilei. However, I remember actually now that you're jogging my memory, you find in various places in Shas that Rabbi Yosef had when he was at one point he became very sick and forgot, and his talmidim would have to remind him of what he had taught them. So now Rabbi Yosef reminds himself. You should know, yes, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who told me from the Mishnah and Kilayim. However, I pointed out to him, Heichi poshit ma roichiv miyoshiv, rochov miyoshiv. How can you derive the case where he's sitting astride the animal from the case where he's sitting in a wagon? Yoshiv like tofus meiseira, rochov tofus meiseira. The fact is, when you're sitting in the wagon, you're not holding the reins of the animal. When you're sitting on the animal, you are holding the reins. The big difference. But Omar Li and Rabbi Yehuda answered me, Rav Shmuel da Amri Tavai, Meisera Leikoni. You should know, Rav and Shmuel both said, holding on to the reins is not enough to be Kona Metzia. So the fact is, there is no difference whether he's sitting in the carriage or whether he's sitting on top of the animal itself. So in other words, Rabbi Yosef is saying, the reason why all this time I never mentioned that this proof from Kalayim comes from Rabbi Yehuda is because it wasn't really a proof until we had this extra detail. So now that you've reminded me, now I said it in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, and yes, the fact is the initial proof from the Mishnah and Kalayim comes from Rabbi Yehuda, and then I discussed it with him.
Just the he's sitting on the animal that he's doing work for him, he's keeping him comfortable, he's carrying him.
But right now we're saying the animal is not really moving. He's holding on to the reins and again Tosfos, yeah, but still the Tosfos says the fact that he's holding on to it with his feet is not considered a tfisa. And the fact that he's holding on to the reins, we're also saying, is not considered a tfisa. If the animal started moving because of him, let's say if he slapped it with the reins and it started moving, that could be a kinyan. Or if he kicked it with his feet, with stirrups or whatever, then fine. But right now he's just sitting there, and as Tosfos is saying, it walks a little bit because of him, then that's not enough for it to be considered a king. Ikadamri, others say that the discussion went as follows. Not that Rabbi Yosef asked Rabbi Yehuda, but rather Omalei Abaya Rabbi Yosef. That to begin with, Abaya asked Rabbi Yosef, Heichi Poshet Mar Rochov Miyoshev, how are you learning the case of riding, of sitting on the animal from sitting in the wagon? Yoshev Le Tofus Meisera, Rochov Tofus Meisera. But Omalei, and according to the second version, Rabbi Yosef tells him, Pochatoni Idi Meisera Leikoni. You should know that Idi taught a braisa that holding the reins is not koina. So according to the first version, that whole discussion had been previously between Rabbi Yosef and his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda. According to the second version, it was between Abaya and Rabbi Yosef. And the Gemara says, Itmar Nami. In fact, they said also, there was a discussion of Amiroim, Omer of Chelba, Omer of Huna, Moseira Mechavere Kona. When it comes to taking the reins from somebody else, if you're taking it from somebody else, that is considered a valid kinyan. So Reuven is buying an animal from Shimon, and Shimon hands him over the reins. So even though he hasn't made the animal move yet, that's still considered Mosira, and it's a valid kinyan, because there is Das Acheres, there's another Das to be Machnet to him. But the mitzvah of a nichse ager like koni, but when it comes to finding a lost object where there's no das acheres, or when it comes to collecting nichse ager, which as we learned in Bava Kamma, you have a case where a ger passes away without any yoshim, and his money, we learned this in Kiddushin as well, and all of his property is available for the taking because he has no Jewish relatives. So then again, his money is his property is hefker, and anybody can take it. If somebody were to try to make a kinyan on an animal of his by grabbing the reins, it wouldn't work, and somebody else could go and take it away from him and do a valid kinyan. Because there's a difference whether there's a das acheres involved or not. In which case, the Gemara says, "My loshen mosira." So why tackle? Why do we call the reins of an animal mosira? Amarava Idi Asbaravi, Idi, the same one that we said before, Meisera Laikani, he explained to me, Ka'odama Moiso Dava Lachaveri. It's like when a person hands something over to somebody else. So the reins are, it works on the grounds of Mesira. The fact that it works as a Kinyan is on the grounds that he's handing them over something. So therefore, Bishlema Mechaveri Kani. Therefore, that explains why when he's receiving it from somebody else, he's Kona to Kamasa Laikavri, because the other one is giving it to him. And therefore, you have. And therefore you have das acheres machne. Toisvis and other rishonim discuss that it doesn't mean that he actually has to physically give him over the maisera, or is it enough to tell, or is it enough that he tells him, go ahead, take the maisera and the animal is yours? Would that be enough, or does he have to actually physically hand him over? Whatever. Anyway, the point is that so when you have that, then you have das acheres machne. But when it comes to a Metzio, when it comes to Nichse Ager, there's nobody else giving it to him. There's no way of him being Koine in the first place. That is why it doesn't work in those cases. So that's what Idi explained to Rava. That's the reason. The very name Moisera implies that point. There has to be a Mesira involved. And when there's a Metzio, when there's Nichse Ager, there's no Mesira involved. You're taking it on your own. Therefore, you have to do some other kind of kinyan. You have to do a Meshicha, and that involves that you actually make the animal move a certain distance. So the Gemara says, Mesvi, though I have a contradiction. So you're telling me so far, in other words, it comes out from the earlier discussion that according to Rav Yehuda, Rochov is not Koin. That when there's Rochov and Koin Manhig, you have one person is riding on the animal and the other one is leading the animal, then the one who's leading it is Koin, and the one who rides on it is not. But what about our Mishnah? We said if two people are riding on an animal, or one of them is riding and one of them is leading, then we said v'chula, and we said that they end up dividing it. So Mani, who would that be like? Ilema Reb Meir, would it be like Reb Meir in the earlier Mishnah from Kilayim that we quoted, who said that? Now we said the original version of the Mishnah was that Reb Meir said that the one who's sitting in the carriage is Potter from Malkus for Kilayim, but then Shmuel flipped it around and said Reb Meir is Machayev him. So you're going to say the mayor is Machayev, even though he's only sitting in the carriage, and you're going to say that our Mishnah goes according to him. What do you mean, hashtag Yoshev Koni? If a person even sitting in the wagon is able to be Koine, in other words, the mayor is saying he's Chayev Malkus for the fact that there's an ox and a donkey hitched up to that wagon, meaning, in other words, that he has a certain connection to the fact that that Kalayim are attached to the wagon. Rochel mi boy, how much more so if he's riding? There'd be no Chiddush in the Mishnah. Evidently, our Mishnah must be according to the Chachamim, or Shmamin or Rochel Koni. Well, that shows that even the one who's riding is enough to be Koine, because the Mishnah after all says the one who's riding is Koine, half the animal. So how is Rabbi Huda deriving from that Mishnah and Kalayim that he's not? The answer is Chachamayskin Manig Beraglov. The difference is that our Mishnah is talking about he is causing the animal to move with his feet. He's kicking the animal with the stirrups or whatever and making it go. So therefore, there's Mashicha, therefore he's Koine. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about the case that he had heard from Shmuel where the guy is sitting on the animal and not making it move.
So in the case of
Kalayim, we're talking about he's sitting inside the wagon. In the case, therefore, he's potter, because he's not doing anything to make the animal to make the animals move. Yes. In our case, we're talking about he is making the animal move. Okay. He's kicking the sides of it and making it go.
That's why he's coining
at least half of it. Meanwhile, you have the other half, manig. So the Gemara says Yehochi Hainu Manig. Well, in that case, then why is the Mishnah calling it Rochav Manig? It should just say two people are leading an animal. One is leading it by pulling the reins and making it go, and the other one is leading it by kicking it with his legs and making it go. So they're both manig in effect. Well, that's what we're saying. No. So the answer is Tre Gabni Manhig. The fact is there are two ways of leading an animal. And the chiddush is Maud Tamer Rochov Odif. You would think the one who's riding on the animal and causing it to move has the stronger claim. Gaham Manhig Vitofispa, because he has both. He's Toifus it and he's being manhig it. So maybe that he has a stronger claim and he should own the whole animal. Kamash Mwan, and therefore the Mishnah is telling us that no, the other one who's manhig it has an equally strong claim to it, and therefore Yachloku. So there's no contradiction from our Mishnah to Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda is talking about the case where he's sitting on the animal and maybe even holding on to the reins, but it's not moving, or as Tosfos said, maybe it's only moving a little bit, whereas our Mishnah is talking about where it's moving a considerable amount, and therefore he's made a kinyan on it. Meanwhile, the other guy has made a kinyan on it as well because he's manhig, and therefore we say the two of them end up splitting up the value of the animal. So we're
got to what one certain ones and ones one for Manic. The guy actually who's holding the ring, Manic, he might be stronger than the guy.
That's neither here nor there. We don't care which one is stronger. The fact is, both of them are causing the animal to move, and therefore they both have equally strong claims. Look at your shiz.
No, the guy holding the ring, the leading is.
It doesn't really matter. The point is, both of them are doing something to cause it to move. And the point is, we don't say that the one who's riding on it should have the stronger claim. They both have equal claims. And then we'll continue in the Gemara tomorrow and analyze this whole thing more, and the din of Rabbi Yehuda and how it fits with various other Mishnayos and Braises and things.
You would think the guy who's sitting on it
because his feet are wrapped around him, because, yeah, maybe he has a stronger claim, and then we're saying that not.
Yeah.